Well, let's turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We want to look at these verses 1 through 7. This is Pastor John's first week among us, and I know he's greatly encouraged by the many people who have contacted him to ask him, disciple me, teach me, help me to grow in a range of areas, in faith and knowledge and service, maybe in marriage, maybe in mental health. And I haven't asked him this question, but I wonder if any of us have actually approached him and said, Pastor John, I want to grow in giving. I want to grow in giving. I've been a pastor, I think, for 25 years, and I don't think anyone's ever approached me with that question. Can you make me or can you help me to become a better giver? It's one of those areas that we often remain stunted in our growth. Now, this is a very, very generous congregation. We set high budgets, and they are exceeded every year, it appears. And we are able to support many missions. It's always wonderful when we don't have to stand at the front here and ask for more money. That's a pastor's worst nightmare. So that's a great blessing, and I commend you for that. And yet, no matter really what stage we're at in our giving journey, there's always room for growth. There's always room for challenge. And here in these verses, Paul gives us a number of reasons to grow in the grace of giving. And he does this for quite a number of verses. We're just going to look at verses 1 through 7, but we'll see in coming weeks. It's a theme he comes back to again and again in different ways. Now, the Corinthians were a people, they were a church that excelled in multiple areas. Paul himself says that. Look at, for example, verse 7. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, so that he's giving them an A plus in all these areas. But there's this one area, this small area, where he's probably just giving them like a C minus. Because he's saying, see that you excel in this act of grace also. And as we'll see, the act of grace he's speaking of is the act of giving. And in these verses, he gives us three truths to motivate growth in giving. So we're going to try and answer this question tonight. How do I grow in giving? How do I grow in giving? And we want to first of all ask, where do I start? Because growth, as you can see in that image, it starts small, doesn't it? So where do we begin? Well, we'll begin where Paul begins. Here, we grow in giving by getting from God. We grow in giving, first of all, by getting. And that's what we see in verses 1 through 3. And there are two kinds of getting from God in these three verses. And the first is this. We get the grace of losing. We get the grace of losing. Doesn't it sound like a grace? But let's look at verse 1. Paul says to the Corinthians, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. So he's bringing here other churches, the Macedonian churches, as an example to the Corinthians. He's saying, I want you to know about how God's grace has been poured out on the Macedonian church. And what is this? For, verse 2, in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty. You get these adjectives? Severe test, extreme poverty. So the context here for the Macedonian, being an example, is a context of great loss. Loss of comfort and peace, and a loss of money. It would appear they were a persecuted church that had lost through their faith. And yet, despite this losing, or maybe we could say because of their losing, they became a giving church. The background to their giving was a lot of losing. In a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy have overflowed in a wealth of generosity. So he's looking at their poverty and their affliction and saying, massive. And then he looks at their generosity and their kindness and he says, massive. And they're linked. Their losing was the impetus to their giving. Sometimes it's necessary for us to become losers if we are to become givers. Some of you probably have experienced that. God brings you into need. He brings you into pain. He brings you into loss. And one of the results, the blessed results of that, is that stuff, money, possessions don't mean so much to you anymore, and it's so much easier to give away. This seems to be what happened to the Macedonians, and this is why Paul calls this losing a grace. It was a gift of God. When our losing is turned into a giving, that is a gift. That is a grace. That is a blessing from God. I was reading a story about a man called Kevin Curry, and he was a believer, but he was really down. He was very depressed. He was very unhealthy, and he was actually suicidal. And his mental health counselor got in touch with him just out of the blue and phoned him, and it really was the means of him stopping taking his own life. He was at a very low point. He felt he had nothing. He'd lost everything. He'd even lost his mental health. But in the days after that phone call, as he received counseling, he realized he had to start looking after himself. He started getting fit and doing lots of exercise, going to the gym 3 hours a day. And he was getting super fit and yet still not really getting out of the darkness. And he realized, well, I can't exercise myself past a bad diet. So he taught himself how to cook tasty meals for a low cost that were healthy, which was very opposite of what he'd been doing up until that point. And then he started posting some of these recipes and what he was doing on Instagram and other social media channels, and he was stunned at the response. And now he has over 2 million subscribers, and the name of his channel or handle is Fit Men Cook. Fit Men Cook. And he's made a life for himself out of this. And so you see how a great loss can be turned by God into great giving to others. It's just one of multiple examples. Macedonians were another example. We get the gift of losing to turn us into givers. So we get the grace of losing, and then we get the grace of giving. Now look at verse 3. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord. But all of this is traced back to the grace of God. That's what Paul puts up front in verse 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God. Yes, the grace of God in their losing, and now the grace of God in their gaining and in their giving. And he says, they gave according to their means. That's sort of encouraging. That's good. Most don't. But they went even further. They gave beyond their means. Beyond their means. This wasn't means tested giving. It was means bested giving. They went beyond what would be reasonably expected of them in their financial circumstances. They didn't ask, well, what do these saints, these poor Christians elsewhere need? No, it was, what can we give? What can we give? And it was all of their own accord, Paul says. And what he's saying there is, this wasn't like twisted arm giving. This was cheerful heart giving. This wasn't something Paul came and manipulated or pressured them into, but something that just came out of them without any external pressure. That's a grace, isn't it? Because that's not natural to anyone. Therefore, if we want to change our stories with this story, we first of all want to use losing as an impetus to giving. We want to use losing as an impetus to giving. Maybe God's blessing you with losing in order to make you a blessing by being more of a giver. And it's interesting, you know, people with very little who can't give a lot, they often get more joy in the little that they give from their little than many who have a lot and even give a lot. And therefore, you can see, again, this losing can be a blessing because there's more joy in the giving of a dollar from a little than a thousand from much. So use losing as an impetus to giving, but also ask for the grace of giving. I don't know if you've ever asked that in a prayer. I have to confess I haven't. I feel this is one area where I am very stunted in my own growth. I feel I'm way behind my wife in this. Many times in our marriage, Shona said, well, maybe we should give this to somebody, this person or this family in need. And I'm going, what would you want to do that for? And I need to ask for that grace of giving. You know, sometimes God doesn't give us more because he knows we wouldn't give more if he did. It's safer for God to give us more when he knows that we're willing to give more from that more that he gives us. Giving is a grace because it shows us who God is. It shows us who God is. God's grace gives the grace of giving. God's grace gives the grace of giving. So that's where we begin. We begin by getting. We get losing and we get giving. But what's next? Well, he says we grow in giving by begging. We grow in giving by begging. And this is verses 4 and 5. What did the Macedonians do? He tells us. They were begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. They were begging to give money to poor Christians. Isn't that? You picture the scene. Paul turns up at the Macedonian church and they're on their hands and knees. They're down and they're begging, Paul, please, please, we're begging you. Would you please, please, please let us give? You're like, what? What kind of beggars are they? I don't know any beggars beg to get something from others, don't they? These beggars beg to give something to others. That's why I call this sermon the strangest beggars. You won't meet many of these at the corner of the intersection. But we should meet them in our churches. These were Macedonian Christians who had very little. They begged, please, we're beseeching you, look, if we can just do one thing, would you let us give? But they did more than that. They not only begged to give money to other poor Christians, but they begged to give themselves to the Lord. Begging as earnestly, verse 4, for the favor, the privilege, the honor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, like this surprised Paul too. This went beyond his expectations. But they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. What surprised Paul here? Well, I think it was he'd seen people giving their resources to God in a generous way before, but maybe not so much the giving of themselves. So they're begging Paul not just take our money. Here, take it. Please use this. But take me. Take us. We give ourselves to you, to the Lord's service. So we beg to give money to poor Christians. We beg to give ourselves to the Lord. This calls us to view Christian giving as a favor, not as an obligation, but as an opportunity. Not as a penalty, but a privilege. Not as a got to do, but a get to do. It's a favor. But also it calls us to give ourselves before we give our money. What would Paul say to someone who said to him, well, you know, have my money, but you can have it all. Bye. And he walked away. What would Paul say? Do you think, oh, well, take the money? No. This passage is saying to us, he said, you can keep your money. I want you. I want you. I want you. Whatever you give to the Lord, give yourself to the Lord. I think he would say, you can keep every single cent. All I want is that you give yourself. The saints will come afterwards. This is what especially exceeded Paul's expectations. And therefore, on this basis, I would say to you, don't give a cent to the Lord's cause. Don't give a cent to the church until you've given yourself to the Lord. It's better that you give nothing until you recognize that not all the money in the world will avail or persuade or influence God. He comes to us, as the book of Proverbs says, and says, my son, my daughter, give me your heart. Give me your heart. I remember one time in my own life when I was going through a period of burnout in the 2011-2012 period, and I'd been doing just a ton of stuff, just conferences and preaching and writing and teaching, and ended up in hospital with blood clots in my lungs. And I remember so clearly the Lord just coming to me and saying, David, my son, give me your heart. Not your books, not your articles, not your sermons, yourself. Yourself. I know you maybe never heard anyone in the church ever say this to you before, but keep your money. Don't put a cent in the plate until you've given yourself to God. That's Paul's priority. That's God's priority. So beg. Beg for the favor of giving to the poor and giving to the Lord. Help beggars by becoming a beggar. Begging for this opportunity, this favor. So you might say, well, I've given myself and I've given quite a lot to the Lord and this cause, is that not enough? Like, can we say, I'm not a C, B, I'm probably an A. Can we say that at any point in our lives? Well, Paul would say this, we grow in giving by excelling, moving beyond enough. Look at verse 6. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. So what is he saying? He's saying, I brought you the Macedonian example to spur you on, and I've sent Titus to you to tell you about that example, to spur you on to giving. And he said, I want this not just to begin, not just to start, but to be completed. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. So Titus got you started with the example of the Macedonians, but now let's move beyond starting to completing. So he's really beginning to spur them on. He's saying you're on the starting blocks, and maybe you've just begun to run in this direction, but I want you to start sprinting. I want you to go a long distance even. To make a small start, and then he takes it even further, and he says, aim for excellence. But as you excel in everything, and he lists some of the things, faith, speech, knowledge, earnestness, zeal, and you excel in our love for you. Paul's reminding them, I love you, I love you, I love you. But there's one area of church life where you're stunted. And it's in this area of giving, this act of grace. Therefore, he's saying to us, make a start. Make a small start, but start. Get on the starting block. Take the first opportunity that comes along. I think especially when maybe we start working, we often think, well, my parents maybe were giving, and now I'm getting money, but I should really wait a bit till I've got enough, or I've got my first car, or got enough for my down payment. Paul would say, just make a start. It doesn't have to be massive, but make a start. Don't wait until you're in a place where you think you're more financially stable and secure. Just get going. And just take one small giving project. It doesn't have to be massive. But make a start. And then aim at excellence. And once we get started and we start growing and progressing, what comes is joy in this. And this is part of human nature, isn't it? We want to grow. It doesn't matter whether we're in a career or in our hobbies or in our area of study. We want to grow. There's something inbuilt. Stagnation is not appealing to us as human beings. And Paul's saying, in this area too, don't stagnate. Don't just get to a certain level and say, well, enough. No. He says, aim to excel even in this area of giving. Excellence in the big things begins with excellence in small things. So we ask this question, how do I grow in giving? And we can really sum up the answer like this, beg to give and you'll get to give. Become a beggar, a strange beggar, a beggar that's begging to give. And as we do, God will give so that we can give, so that we are beggars who give. If we try to bring the gospel out of this, we want to change the next chapter of our story with these truths. And we want to start that with the gospel. And the gospel is, use your giving by grace to better understand your getting by grace. So you're going to maybe take some money and you're going to give it to a charity or Christian mission or First Byron, whatever it is. And you're going to feel some pain. Why did I give so much? Others could give more. I mean, they're far wealthier than me. You're going to find lots of reluctance. And then you're going to understand God's grace better because there was zero reluctance in his giving. And you look at how little you're giving and how much of an obstacle you have to go over to give. And then you look at all that God has given in the gospel, giving his only son to such a death. Oh, that goes home, doesn't it? That just grips your heart. So how can God be so good? And I be so small-hearted, so cold, so ungenerous, so stingy? Use even the pain of giving to learn about the grace of God. But use also the joy, because that will come. We'll see in a future passage, God loves a cheerful giver. It's possible to get to that point. And if you're there, you have even greater understanding of the gospel because you get God's heart. He doesn't just give coldly, distantly, thoughtlessly, but with all of his heart, with cheerfulness. He gave his son of his own accord, not arm twisted up his back, but willing heart. And Jesus himself excelled in giving. Giving not just his stuff, but himself. He loved me and gave himself for me. What grace. What giving. If the Macedonians begged for the favor of giving to God's poor people, how much more did Jesus beg to give himself for his people? He begged for that opportunity. He asked for it. He pled for it. Let me do it, Father. Let me give myself, even to this kind of death on the cross. Let me give my whole self. Let me give it to the sufferings of hell. Let me do it for them. What a giver for such beggars. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast, beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. You lost your life that I might find it here. So let's praise God for his giving heart. Let's go out with this gospel, with this Jesus, and with this praise in our lips. Praising God that he's the giver of every good and perfect gift. And beg him to make you into a giver. And beg him that, yes, we are a giving church and we're a generous church. Can we excel? Can we grow more, even to that level of excelling? Is there room for progress? There must be. We have a church building project coming up. Ah, now you see, that's why he preached this. It's actually just in the book we're going through, okay? But there's an area. We have great counseling needs as a congregation. There are Ukrainian Christians who are in desperate straits. Many opportunities where we can have that favor of giving. Why not ask Pastor John? Why not go to him and say, Pastor John, teach me how to grow in giving. Teach me how to grow in this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He'd be more than happy to help you and to disciple you in that area. And as for our young among us, well, you think, well, what can I give? I don't have much. Well, you know, start small, as we said. But just start. You could have a $10 giving project, even over the course of the next year. $10. You can say, I'm going to save up $10 for a specific person or a specific project or a specific need. And it doesn't matter how little difference it might make in the lives of others. It's the difference it will make in your life that's the blessing more than anything else. Giving changes people's lives, but it changes the life of the giver even more. And it doesn't need to be a ton of money. It can be very little. Is there an area in which we can excel in our giving? We think of when we get to heaven. I doubt anyone has ever got to heaven and looked back and said, I gave too much. I gave too much. Oh, I wish I didn't give so much. No, we'll reach heaven and say, I gave nothing. Oh, I gave nothing. Compared to what I've got, compared to what I've gained. But many will reach hell and say, I excelled in getting, but not in giving. And therefore, let's excel in this grace. Let's beg to give, and we'll get to give. Let's pray. Giving God, we beg you to give us giving hearts like Jesus. Amen.